to another episode of ERA Talks. I am Stephanie Tierney, the Membership Director and Podcast Coordinator here at ERA. 2020 has been the year of change, conflict, and managing new resolutions all over the board. Our industry has seen this firsthand. While the topic of line conflict may not be new to 2020, it is not going anywhere, and it is certainly a timely topic even more today in these times that we face. Our guest today is ERA's consultant, Cesar Giammarco. Prior to retiring from Honeywell in 2015, Cesar spent most of his career in field sales management, including 35 years in the electronics components industry. In those 35 years, he has instituted, managed, and integrated manufacturers' reps globally into multiple organizations. Welcome, Cesar.
Thank you, Stephanie. It's my pleasure to be here.
Cesar's white paper, Line Conflicts, Navigating to a Mutually Beneficial Resolution, was featured in the summer issue of The Representer and can be found on the ERA website as well. I want to take this time to dive deeper into that topic. Cesar, I have some questions for you. My first question is, how does line conflict come about?
Well, having managed manufacturers' reps for many years, I obviously have been exposed to quite a number of potential perceived conflict issues. And I can honestly say that no rep has ever approached me to add a line that was a perceived conflict unless they had a real compelling case where it actually was complementary to the product line I was responsible for. And now that's something that's within the rep's control. But really, what's outside of their control is when one of their principals is part of an acquisition or a merger that brings with it products or technologies that may potentially conflict with other principals on the line card. And the frequency of that is going to continue to increase. I would venture to say most of those listening to this podcast, whether they're a rep, a manufacturer, or a distributor, have been on either side of a merger and acquisition in the last few years. And if they haven't, I would assume that their customers, and many of their customers, have as well. In 2019, there were over 15,000 mergers and acquisitions in the U.S. alone, with many more pending going into 2020. Now, obviously, we all know what's happened in 2020, and the COVID-19 impact on business has temporarily delayed some of the mergers and acquisitions. Although the negative impact that the pandemic has had on business, I'm sure will undoubtedly generate additional mergers and acquisitions once all of this tends to clear up. Another factor is reps typically have a product offering that's aligned technology-wise with the markets and the customers in their territory. So that means there's a synergy amongst all their principals. And all their principals are always striving to improve and have more products that they can offer to the marketplace. So invariably, an existing principal may develop a technology which could end up potentially competing with a technology that they currently have in their line card with another principal. And that's how the conflicts have evolved.
That is so interesting. Thank you so much, Cesar. That brings me to my next question. How do you define line conflict?
Well, historically, the most common reference used to define conflicts has always been either it's a hard or a soft conflict. And the issue I have with those references is there's really no standard definition for either. And that can result in it being interpreted, and it's often interpreted differently by reps and manufacturers alike, which can then lead to a less than optimum result in attempting to resolve this issue. My experience is that a more definitive, open-minded approach to define and categorize the conflicts will lead the manufacturer to better understand how this possible conflict can impact their business, and that'll put them in a much better position to evaluate the next steps. So I would suggest, as manufacturers and reps are confronted with this scenario, that they consider categorizing these potential conflicts into one of three areas. The first is obvious, alternative, being this particular product that is a potential conflict is a direct replacement for what are the other products on their line card. It's closely aligned in brand, very difficult to differentiate. It's a clear replacement. The second category I call evolving product. And this would reference a conflict in a particular product or technology that a principal on your line card is either planning on focusing on as a key product moving forward, or just the opposite. It's de-emphasizing and has an exit strategy in place for it. And if there's an exit strategy in place, does that exit plan include an alternative product for its current customers? Or is the market or application for these products no longer strategic for that particular principal? Depending on the route that evolving product is taking, will give you a good indication as to the next steps as far as resolving the conflict. The third one I call opportunity. And you would ask, how would a perceived conflict represent an opportunity for a principal? The answer to that is, does this product line that the rep is now going to have on his line card because of a merger and acquisition, does it fill a gap in a particular principal's product offering? And to give you an example, I think a classic example would be switches. I mean, all switches are not alike. They all have different footprints, different characteristics, different markets, different applications. So just because it's a switch doesn't mean it's a conflict. But if I have a principal, I have a suite of switch products with this particular rep, and there's a gap in that product, and this rep is going to bring on a product that fills that gap, even if it's with another principal, it helps reinforce my position and minimizes the loss of business. Because if the rep brings my products to a customer and there's a gap in that product offering, and that customer really needs that gap product, if he can't get it from this rep, he's going to get it somewhere else. And that may introduce another competitor into the mix, which could potentially risk my business. So again, perceived or potential conflict, depending how it's categorized, could ultimately be an opportunity as well.
I love how you mentioned that there could really be an opportunity out of conflict, because I think so many times that might be overlooked. So thank you for that. I do have another question for you. What is the impact and cost to the manufacturer and manufacturer's rep if the conflicts cannot be resolved?
All right. First, let's think about the impact of the rep. The challenge this poses for a rep, both strategic and financial. By strategic, I mean that rep's line card is aligned with specific products, technologies that match up with the markets and the customers it serves. So if we can't resolve this issue, and that rep has to either drop my line or the line with a perceived competitor, it impacts the overall rep business. He becomes less strategically focused and appropriate for the markets he serves. Financially, obviously, if a rep has to drop a line, there's an income loss. But that income loss, yes, it's generating commission dollars that compensate the rep, but it's also giving him the resources he needs to reinvest in the business, to add the technologies and capabilities that he needs to continue to support all of his principals. So if he has to lose a line, he's losing a strategic advantage, and he's also losing the opportunity to reinvest in the business. Now, on the manufacturer's side, there is a significant cost to losing a particular rep. If the rep has to drop the line, or I have to terminate the rep because of this potential conflict, now I, as a manufacturer, have to find another rep firm. And the time it takes to train a new rep, to get the rep up to speed as it relates to the culture of your business, all of those things on the learning curve, the relationship with the customers, the understanding of the appropriate applications and how my products are really applied in these applications, all have to be regenerated and retrained in a new rep organization. And that takes time. And over the course of that time, the potential to lose business and the lost productivity of a sales organization can have an impact. So I think that really has to be considered anytime a manufacturer has to make a rep change, particularly when it's driven by a potential or perceived conflict. So it's really beneficial, in my estimation, to try and resolve a conflict issue where it's mutually beneficial for both parties, particularly if the rep has a long, successful relationship with the principal.
Absolutely. So what are some options that can be considered to reach resolution?
Let me start by saying that in my experience, the mindset of the manufacturer and the rep as well in resolving a conflict issue should be, what can we do as a team to retain this relationship? A relationship that we've invested a lot of time in, a relationship that benefits us both. What can we do to resolve this conflict to maintain that relationship? That really should be the mindset that you go into this with. I actually have, and I'll share, four examples, real-time examples that I've experienced and have heard from other reps as it relates to how they were able to work through and resolve some of these conflicting issues. All four of these, by the way, were generated through mergers and acquisitions where reps had lines in their line cards that overnight suddenly were expanded with a product offering, which put them in a position where they could compete with some of their existing lines. So the first one is, one of the reps' principals is now introducing a product that could technically replace one that the other principal has. The product at risk is one that the principal will be exiting over time. So it's an evolving product. So suddenly now this principal is confronted with a potential competitor on a product that he is no longer focused on, they are no longer focused on, and are moving away from. But there's a time frame associated with that. So the solution, and again, all of these resolutions, obviously both principals mutually agree that they would work. A temporary exclusion of this replacement product and specific select customers were written into the rep agreement by the principal with the expanding product line for a predetermined period of time. And that time was associated with the exiting strategy of the other principal. So this allowed the rep to retain both lines, minimized any short-term conflict, and let the principal that had the threatened product line work through his exit strategy before it became a real conflict. In a similar situation, where a replacement technology from an existing principal conflicted with a focus product of another principal, obviously the resolution here is a little more challenging. And this was a little outside of the norm, but both of these manufacturers recognized the value of this rep. So the manufacturer that had the expanded product line that was threatening the other principal opted to exclude that particular product from the rep's contract and market it differently. They didn't hire any additional resources, but they took this one product and they marketed through their regional sales managers and FAEs. So there was really no rep conflict in that particular case. And again, in a similar scenario to that, where the conflict was generated based on a merger and acquisition, the rep in this case selected to have a dedicated resource in his organization to support the expanded principal's product line. And the rep firm put in place procedures to exclude the people that were supporting this expanded product line from accessing the other principal's information. So they firewalled it. They put a process in place to exclude this team from getting any information about the other principal. And they actually got a third party to audit the firewall process. Again, trying to find a way to retain that existing relationship with these reps and minimize any perceived or actual conflicts. One more scenario. After a merger and acquisition, an existing principal now has a technology that on the surface looks like a conflict. But when they dug into it and looked at the details of this particular product line, it was very apparent that the capabilities and the market focus were different. So what they decided to do here was that the principal on the, I'll call him the offended principal, the principal that was concerned about the conflict, was given first right of refusal on opportunities. Again, there really seemed to be no alignment in the applications or the capabilities, even though the products were technically called the same. So this principal would defer the opportunities that didn't fit into their capabilities to the other principal. And that didn't last too long because it was more about a validation that there was no conflict. And within a very short period of time, it was apparent that there wasn't. And again, coexistence strategy was developed there too. The last one I want to talk about is a case where indeed there was a conflict. It was a direct alternative to the existing principle, and coexistence was not an option. So now the decision is, do I terminate the rep or does the rep terminate the line? How can we make this work? The principal in question did a real deep dive on the acquisition cost associated with bringing on another rep firm, the training, the getting to know the company's culture, the strengths, the weaknesses, the customer knowledge and relationship. All those things, all those factors came into play as this manufacturer tried to find a way to work through this relationship. Again, if the rep is forced to drop the expanded line, then the financial impact would limit his reinvestment, and then all the principals would be impacted by that factor as well. So after going through all that evaluation, the manufacturer actually put together an enhanced commission compensation plan that would allow the rep to drop the other line and remain financially solid. The plan had detailed incentives and a time frame associated with it. But again, the intent here was really to take this other line off the line card because it definitely was an alternative product and find a way to retain this rep, recognizing that there's a negative impact for that really good long-term rep to drop that other line. So let's find a way to make this work together. Every situation is different. You know, no two alike. You can categorize them into the three areas that I talked about, but that just gives you a context to build on. The approach is really related to the strength of the relationship, the capabilities of the relationship, and the desire to maintain this relationship over an extended period of time.
Thank you so much, Caesar. These were some great examples. I'm going to move on to my last question for you. In your opinion, why do manufacturers view distributors carrying conflicting lines differently than reps?
An interesting question, Stephanie. My opinion, and again, this is just my opinion on this. I'm sure others will have other ideas as to why this is the case. But I believe it's all related to the customer perspective and expectations. Customers traditionally see distributors as suppliers. Thus, as a supplier, the customer has an expectation that options will be offered or at least available. Manufacturers' reps, however, they're agents of a particular company, representing and advocating a specific product by a specific manufacturer. And I believe manufacturers tend to view distributors and reps the same way. So in my experience, in my dialogue with individuals around this particular issue, I've extracted that as the justification for the differentiation in the way manufacturers look at conflicts between distributors and reps.
So interesting. Thank you so much, Caesar. I want to thank you again for your time. You really brought so much to this topic. Again, your white paper that is in the Representer magazine and on our website has some more information on this topic as well. It's a great topic, extremely timely right now, as it always can be. Thank you so much for being here with us today. Again, very informative. For those that are listening, be sure to check out era.org for more events, resources, and membership information. Chat soon.